Welcome to this talk from the Canando Zen Meditation Center. Located in Mountain View, California, Canando's meditation practice is open to the public. For more information or to get in touch with us, you can visit our website at canando.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.
It is exciting to be here together during a time when we are asked to be apart. So it's wonderful that we have this opportunity to share a small time together. As Bonnie said, the topic of leadership has been on my mind for the last several weeks, maybe for you too. Don't have to emphasize that now, the time we are in now is a time of crisis and a time of threat, very disturbing. And all over the world, people everywhere are instinctively turning to leadership. We need leadership to help us understand the nature of our problem, to understand the threat, and to understand its danger, to maintain control of our society and the whole planet, to keep things together. So these days we are looking to leadership to respond, to remove the threat, to maintain social stability, and to provide us with guidance, to provide us with assurance, and to provide us with trust. But you know, even though today is a time of crisis, leadership, the need for leadership is true in what we call normal times, in everyday life, not just in times of crisis, not just when there is an existential threat to life. Every day we look to leadership to provide us with stability and safety, to respond to emergencies, to provide progress, and to provide a vision. So I've been thinking about what leadership means, both in times of crisis and in normal times. First of all, we look to our elected officials for leadership, starting with the president, to the governors, to the mayors, down to the city councils. And we look to our health providers and our health experts, people who do research, people who collect and analyze the data so they can better deal with problems such as we have today. And in the area of health leadership, we have regional leadership, we have hospital administrators, we have doctors, our local physicians, and we have hospital charge nurses right there in the hospital, all performing acts of leadership. We look to our education professionals for leadership, not only at a top level to provide policy, but to manage school districts. We look to the principals of schools, and we look to classroom teachers to provide leadership. In the area of law enforcement, at the top, we might have a police commissioner. It goes all the way down to local chief of police in your city. And finally, we have our emergency responders, fire departments, 9/11, responders, and the folks who drive ambulances. Now, all that sounds very much out of a textbook. But now let me ask the question, what is it that defines leadership? When do people take on a leadership role? And I think the key, the answer to that is leadership comes with responsibility. Responsibility for an organization, of people, whether it's an entire society or a classroom or a scout troop. Responsibility is the key to leadership, and the scope of that responsibility includes such things as establishing objectives for an organization and its goals, to inform and to educate and to encourage the members of an organization to respond to problems that the organization encounters, to sustain that organization so it can stay healthy and move forward, and to enhance and improve what it is that the organization does. So that might be a picture of leadership. But now let me ask you all a more fundamental question. Is leadership restricted to having responsibility for an organization or some defined unit of people, such as a Girl Scout troop? A unit of organization in our rational daily life, the life that is goal-oriented and emphasizes problem-solving? Or does leadership extend beyond the rational and beyond the objective? Buddhism tells us that each person has responsibility for his or her own life. To take care of it and to work to make it authentic, or as we say in Buddhism, to express our true nature with our life. If you study Buddhism carefully, you'll come to understand that one of its key teachings is that if we do not express authenticity in our life, we will suffer. If we do not express authenticity in our life, our life will be based only on appearances and our own personal agendas. Buddhism insists that we, each one of us, take leadership of our life. We don't have to be in charge of an organization. Buddhism avoids explaining how life appears. Have you ever noticed that? If you ask Buddhist, where does life come from? How does it come about? You don't get a logical answer. There are many belief systems that say life is a gift. Life is given to us. But if you take that viewpoint, that only raises the question, who or what is the giver? And if we pursue that question, we're led down a path that leads us to believe that there is a separate giver, someone or something other than ourselves, a separate giver, and that we are a separate receiver. And this view only leads to theories about a separate deity, the giver. And that in turn leads to competing theories about deities. Well, in Buddhism, that concept is a non-starter. Buddhism says there is no giver, no receiver. There is no separation. There is only oneness. And this is the central teaching of Buddhism. So if you ask the Buddhist, How does life appear? You won't get rational explanation. What you'll get is life appears through causes and conditions. That's not very specific, is it? And that kind of answer is very frustrating to the rational mind, to the logical mind. But as we slowly learn, spirituality and spiritual practice is not concerned with facts. It is through our Zazen practice that we will come to understand the meaning of causes and conditions. And it's through our Zazen practice that we will understand how life appears. And that understanding will be beyond explanations, but that understanding will relieve confusion and will show us how to live and how to take care of our life. To be responsible for our life, we need to express the characteristics of true leadership beyond leadership of an organization of people. Our practice, Zazen practice, Zen practice, means simply that we take leadership in every activity of our individual life, every activity and every relationship. Leadership in our practice means continuous practice. When we have a Zazen mind, we are always in a leadership role. Even though we are not encouraging people or instructing people or making policy, when we have spiritual practice, when we have Zazen practice, we are always in a leadership role. So let me just take a moment to tell you what I think are the qualities of true leadership. And then I'd like to have us engage in a discussion about those qualities and see what you think might be some other qualities of true leadership. I think the first quality of a true leadership is being aware, being present, and focusing, maintaining focus in a situation. What I like to say, seeing the big picture and seeing ourselves in our relationships. Seeing ourselves in relationships beyond our own self-interest. This is awareness. And this awareness includes others and everything as relevant. I think everybody knows the often quoted Suzuki Roshi's way of saying it, to see things as it is. This is Zazen mind, to be totally aware of the big picture. Another quality of true leadership must rest on our values. Those things in our life, those sensibilities that make us feel connected with the truth. These are our values. Our values provide the foundation of how we believe our life should be expressed. Our values shape the purpose of our daily life. And our values need to be clear and unwavering. The third quality of true leadership that occurs to me is what I like to call finding our fit with each other, so there are no bumps, so that we interact and connect smoothly and we feel our connection is flowing. Finding our fit with each other means when we're with another person, and we are totally making our effort to fit together, we are really saying, I get you. It requires empathy and it requires compassion. Another quality of true leadership is being creative. And by that, I do not mean being a genius or brilliant. Being creative in a true leadership sense means having a totally open mind and not being defensive, but instead to be receptive to new ideas and to nurture new ideas. A fourth quality of true leadership is what I call to orchestrate, which is working to bring people together in active ways as well as in indirect, subtle ways. By orchestrate, I mean encourage bonding and encourage connection. And finally, I'd like to offer one more characteristic of true leadership, which is vision. To imagine what could be and to prepare for what's next. In our practice, in Zen practice, we go from our cushion, from our chair, into our daily life. Our practice means to activate active leadership in everything we do. So I'd like to leave it there and ask all of you to offer your ideas about leadership, what you think some of the characteristics might be, and how you feel we might express true leadership in our lives. Does anybody have anything they'd like to offer? Peter.
Yes. Thank you, Les, and it's really nice to see you again. One quality that I was thinking about is flexibility, maybe connected to openness to what's coming and to all of the different possibilities. Curious to hear your thoughts on that.
That's a very good observation. You're saying that leadership requires flexibility. In the rational world, sometimes flexibility is not seen as an asset in leadership. Sometimes stubbornness and toughness, lack of flexibility, is what people want. But what you're saying is, in true leadership, leadership in the true spiritual sense, we need flexibility. So that's a very good point. Appreciate that observation.
Renee?
I think that it might be obvious, but a quality of leadership to be able to act. And acting sometimes means waiting, but it's an active wait. I think it's the opposite of being passive or being dispersed. A leadership has to have focus to understand when activity is needed and when waiting is needed, but it's all focused on action, if you will, or motion in some sense.
That's a good observation, Renee.
Hi, Les. Good to see you. I'm really glad you talked about leadership from a personal point of view, because there's something that is, I think it's both an inner and outer thing. And I think that was a great thought that you said. And I think that because of that, I think what we're doing internally Well, I think we all are leaders by virtue of being here. And I think that what we're all doing internally in our practice is sort of leading ourselves, which is can be externalized in great leadership as well. But that's my take on it. And I think that it's leading yourself is a lifelong practice. It's really hard. So I wanted to say, do you agree with that? Does that sound reasonable?
It can be hard, yes.
Yeah.
That's why we have our practice.
Yes.
To teach us how to express that kind of leadership without having to think about it, without having it to be hard. Mm-hmm. Leadership and Zen practice cannot be separated.
Thank you.
Columbine and then Eric.
Hi, Les. It's nice to see you. You know, it's hard right now because we're hearing about the leadership of our country and how it feels that the leader is not doing a very good job. And especially now when we're so isolated, I think it feels like a storm is coming and there's nothing we can do about it. And I understand doing all that we can for ourselves, but what do we do with a bad leader?
I wouldn't worry about that question right now.
Okay.
Would be concerned about taking care of yourself.
Okay.
And expressing your own life as authentically as it can be expressed.
Okay.
Some problems are way beyond us, you know? The answer to your question, who knows what happens when a leader isn't doing the right job? But it has to start with each of us standing firm and providing a foundation by being truly a leader for our own life and for the lives of people we come in contact with. So I would put that larger question aside for now and come back closer to home.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. It's good to see everybody. Les, one of the things that strikes me when I think about your leadership is the consistency of your actions day to day. So the words are important, but to me, what's much more important for a leader is the phrase walking the walk comes to mind. So when you understand a leader is their behavior is full of integrity and consistent with their words, that to me manifests true leadership. And that gives a confidence in that person's approach.
I'm confident that everyone in this meeting tonight can do what you say, Eric. All of us, we can all do it. If we stay committed to our practice, we can do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
May, and then Dave.
Good to see you, Les.
Hi.
Hi. I observed that probably be humble. It's very important. Humility. This leader has to be humble enough to be able to see things clearly. To be able to touch the bottom.
May, that is exactly right. Humility being another way of saying drop off your ego. So I agree with you 1,000%. Thank you. I have to say that I'm in this meeting tonight, not on my computer, but on my iPad, because I don't yet have a camera for my computer, so I can't see everybody. I can only see nine squares, and I'm one of them, so I can only see eight of you. So I'm missing all, what did you say, Bonnie, 25?
Yeah, there's at least 25 people. If you want, you can change it back to speaker view if you want to see whoever's speaking, or I don't know, you might be able to swipe, but don't worry about it. You're doing great.
Okay.
You're doing great. You know, you're fine.
Okay, it's fine. We'll leave it.
Okay. And then I think we had Dave next.
I just wanted to throw out a quote about leadership that I've always found kind of interesting, and maybe it might stir up a little discussion. This is a quote from Dwight Eisenhower. He said, "Leadership is the art of getting other people to do what you want because they want to do it." And that sounds a little bit like sort of emotional jujitsu. You know, you sort of fool people into doing things they don't really want to do because you make them think that they want to. But maybe another way of looking at that is to say, leadership starts with getting beyond a narrow view of what you want to find the common interest that aligns with other people, and then showing them that they should be aligned with that as well. I'm not sure if that's what Eisenhower meant or not, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. It seems like a kind of an interesting thing to chew on.
Good, thank you.
Anna?
Hey, everybody.
Hi, Anna.
Hi, Les. It's good to see you. I really thought your list was comprehensive. And one thing I think that I notice in a lot of leaders is their ability to get inspiration from around them. And I think it comes from a clear understanding of how things work and maybe that drive to be authentic. But even if it's bringing people together in their community, you get inspiration seeing what's around you or your purpose. I think that good leaders are really able to have a clear idea of what they're doing and why they're doing it and put that ego aside because of that.
Putting the ego aside. What an interesting concept. Where'd that come from?
Well, someone said that, but I think what I, you know, to be fueled by what you're seeing around you and get inspiration in that way. I think it's inspiring when you put your ego aside and it drives you when things are tough.
You know, you just made a very good observation. It's the general, people generally have the feeling that they need to hold on to their ego. But what you're saying is, if you let go of it, you'll be a lot happier and a lot more satisfied.
Yes, thank you. You helped me make what I was trying to say more clear.
Good, thank you.
Megan.
Yes, nice to see you, Les.
Thank you.
Yes, I think a leader needs to be able to develop a trusting relationship with these people below him or her, that the people below you, that they can trust that you have their best interests or you will respond to them, that there's got to be some trust involved. And that's what I wanted to say.
Thank you.
Travis?
Yes, thank you, Les. You know, I was thinking about what you said about clear and unwavering values, and you know, I've been, you know, working a lot online, and you know, it tends to create a more intellectual, maybe, conversation than you'd normally get in the office, and particularly younger folks, more and more want to kind of know what the philosophy of their leaders are and if they're going to work for you. And they want to have their own kind of way of looking at life that's going to work for them and serve them in life. And I've noticed that there's a lot of competition with values at work, and that and that leaders are actually pretty creative with their selective use of value making. Situationally, it tends to be rational, but it tends to be constricted into the productivity and efficiency parts of corporate life, which leads me to my main question, which is, we don't talk a lot about virtue in this culture, which I think is distinct from values. And I don't think virtues are easy to talk about. And I think one of the reasons is because it's a small slip into moralization. But one of the things that I've noticed about good leaders, and they tend to be virtuous, is that they seem wholesome, that their intentions are good. And like Megan said, that you can trust them beyond their words, because, you know, behind all of that, there's actually a person there that really cares and is looking out for you and can probably be flexible with how they think about the world to that particular moment than when they're with you. And I wondered if you could say anything about virtue and how that relates to leadership.
Well, I believe, well, it's more than what I believe. Virtue grows out of our sense of taking care and out of compassion. And that's a value. We say to ourselves, I want to live my life with compassion. I want to be virtuous. And that's a value. A good leader in the everyday business-like, goal-oriented world will lead according to rational thinking. But a good leader, the values of a good leader will come through unarticulated. They'll come through when that leader is expressing leadership in a very objective way. His or her true leadership qualities will shine through, and that will draw us to that leader more than how effective or efficient they are in giving directions or formulating plans and all of that. How they express themselves, the kind of person that they are in their everyday life and in their everyday relationships, that's what inspires, not so much the speeches they give. So I think virtue and value actually go hand in hand. Of course, if we have empathy. If we don't have empathy and we don't think virtue is important, our values become something that are not very creative and can cause harm. And some people have values like that. But for us, we want our values to be based on our caring for life and for each other.
Ken, did you have a question?
No, I like what you said there, Les. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
I've been thinking about this, and especially with the speeches and such, has been going on for the last week or two about how bad the virus is, or how flippant it is, and how not to care, and all over the map. I think you and Travis kind of touched on it. The element of a bodhisattva, I would like my leader to have that nature in that I would trust them that they're not going to leave me when things get rough, and they're going to stick around and get the job done. And I don't quite have that feeling with things are the way they are now. So I would say yes. I would say Bodhisattva for me would be an aspect of a very good leader.
That's the ideal, of course. And it would be nice if all of our leaders were Bodhisattvas. But where we start is expressing our own life as a Bodhisattva. Let's start there. Let's make a vow to live our life as a Bodhisattva. And in whatever way we can, encourage others to move in the same direction.
I just have a quick comment following up on that. I'm just looking at the screen and realizing there's actually 26 of us here, because Lee and Umar are in one square together. So there's 26 of us on the call. And if every one of us lived as a Bodhisattva and stayed connected, I mean, that's very powerful. And this is not even our entire community. Mm-hmm. So I'm just realizing that. Rohan.
Hi, everyone. Les, I wonder what you think about ability to find a common denominator, such as like seeing ourselves in other people and really finding out like what they need and what everyone needs. So finding a common denominator.
Our common denominator is that we are not separate. We are all connected, even though the word connected isn't quite right. As human beings, we are connected, but we are also connected with the trees, with the animals, with the breeze and the sun. Our practice enables us to feel that connection, not separated from anything that appears in the world. That, I think, is the common denominator. You know, if sometimes life throws some challenges at us and we struggle a little bit and things get hard and we're working on problems, I find it's always good to get outside and get into nature and just walk through nature and put your hand on the tree, put your hand on the bark of a tree and say, I get you. To look at a bird and listen to her sound, watch her fly away and say, and feel, I get you. And to stand in the sunshine with the clouds overhead, and to feel the warmth and to be able to say, I get you. This, I think, is our common denominator.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brenda, yeah, Brenda.
Hi, that was a beautiful answer. I have a question about how do you decide when things need to change versus when they should stay the same?
I don't know. You have to look at it carefully. You have to see what's going on before. You have to envision what might be the future. You have to feel what will be best for all and what would create the least amount of good and the most amount of good and the least amount of suffering. You have to take it all in and probably not to think too much about it, but really feel it to know what's the best thing. And I think in order to do that, we have to go slow and not to jump to conclusions, but to soak in the situation so we can feel it deeply and entirely so that we know in our bones, oh, this is the right thing to do.
Teresa.
Thank you, Les, and everybody. It's wonderful to see everybody tonight. When I think about people who I consider leaders, one of their qualities is their ability to inspire and encourage others to overcome their limitations. And I want to thank you because I think you really do that.
Well, I have a question for you, Teresa. What time is it where you are?
Must be around 5, 20 to 6.
Oh, okay. It's getting late already for you.
No, AM.
Well, I appreciate your being here with all of us. And we miss you, and we hope you can get back to us pretty soon.
Janet.
I don't want to embarrass you, Bonnie, but speaking of leadership, thank you so much for doing this for us. It means a lot. We love you.
Oh, thank you, Janet. It's my pleasure, and it's all of you get me out of bed in the morning, so I'm getting a lot out of it too. So thank you. Thank you, Janet. Renee?
Yes, Bonnie. Thank you. And Les, thank you. It's good to see you. But I want to say that in addition to everything that was said and well said, Travis, you've sent me now on a path I did not expect, which is that thought about virtue. I don't know if I agree or disagree, but you certainly have me thinking now, leadership and virtue. Are all good leaders virtues? Or for whom? From whom's perspective? And, you know, I've been watching more news than usual these days, and I happen to have CNN and Fox side by side, and I am amazed how switching channels gives you a totally different picture of a reality. And in one channel, Trump's a bad leader. In the other channel, Trump's an awesome leader. And then you wonder if the concept of leadership is when you go outside of your own internal leadership, it's just a subjective concept or a temporary concept applicable to the circumstances. A good leader is for this situation, but in the other situation becomes a bad leader because the traits that made them good in one situation made them bad in another one. So again, Travis, every time you express many of your ideas, you get me thinking a lot, and I thank you.
This talk was brought to you by the Canandoe Zen Meditation Center in Mountain View, California. For more information or to support this podcast, go to canandoe.org. That's K-A-N-N-O-N-D-O.org.